Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And we're always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to. I don't know about you all, but I feel splendid about how last night went for the Washington Wizards. Round 2 of the NBA draft gets tipped off in about a half hour or so. The Wizards own the number 43rd overall pick via that trade that they were able to strike yesterday with the Utah Jazz. Shout out to Will Dawkins and company, man. I just want to start off with that. For all of the scuttlebutt about what was actually going to happen last night, the ultimate result of the third draft under Will Dawkins and Mike Winger, I thought, was an absolute smashing success. We get to every angle of the two first-round draft picks as we roll throughout the show. A couple of guests going to stop by, including a special one, coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour. Trey Johnson's high school basketball coach during his senior year, Chad Myers, going to join the show. We'll get his thoughts on what makes Trey Johnson tick, and when he was in his final season at Link Academy in Missouri, did they understand what type of prospect he was, or had the potential to be, I guess, at the college basketball level? So Chad Myers is going to join us coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour. If you were tuned in to Grant and Danny, and why would you not be, a smashing interview with Illinois head coach Will Underwood, talking about the Wizards' second first-round pick of the night, Will Riley, out of the University of Illinois. And I thought just a super insightful conversation. We'll play the best of that audio coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So a whole lot to get to. Also get to RFK 2.0 and why things all of a sudden seem like they are on the ropes in terms of this thing actually happening and the council members and the commanders not able to play nice right now when it comes to a deadline for RFK 2.0 and the legislation involved with it. We'll get to that as well as we roll throughout the show. But let's get to the big news. The Wizards last night had an opportunity to, as I said on the pre-draft show, I said that the Wizards had the opportunity to add two potentially franchise-altering talents last night. And when you draft Trey Johnson, number 6 overall, I think you look at him as a potential franchise cornerstone. And I know what people are going to say. Well, Linnell, don't rush to put such massive expectations on this young man. He's about it. And we'll find out top of the 7 o'clock hour when we talk to his high school coach, Chad Myers, why he is about it. But Trey Johnson, in short, an absolute bucket getter. I'll be real, though, right? I love both of the picks. I think Trey Johnson is a certified bucket getter and really is underrated. When you think about scorers like him, their playmaking ability oftentimes gets swept under the rug. Last year, it was a tick under 3 assists per game for Trey Johnson. But I think as bona fide of a scorer as he is, I think he's got just as much upside as a playmaker in pick-and-roll situations as well. So I think the Devin Booker comps, say what you want. Some folks just say, oh, those are lofty expectations. Now, how could you put that type of onus on a kid like that? I think he's got the chops to do it. I really do. Some other more realistic comparisons in terms of like what his floor could be. If you all remember, Michael Redd for the Milwaukee Bucks, bucket getter. O.J. Mayo in Memphis, that's his floor to me. When we talk about the Devin Booker comparisons for Trey Johnson, I think that represents what his ceiling could potentially be. And we all know how the NBA draft works. You draft for ceiling, not for floor. Love what Will Dawkins and company did last night, adding Trey Johnson and Will Riley. Will Riley, let's get to him here while we have a second as well. Like, I think for him, and I got this nugget listening to G&D, hanging out with his college basketball coach, Will Underwood. I think, to me, what Will Underwood, some of the nuggets he gave out in that interview about the work ethic of Will Riley, and he called him, and this was the comparison, as a DMV hoop head, this was the comparison that knocked my socks off. Will Underwood said Will Riley's the second best scorer he has ever coached. The first, Michael Beasley at Kansas State. So when you think about a kid being 6'8", having that type of positional size, the ability to put the ball on the floor and create for himself and others, you read his scouting report on The Ringer, he hadn't met a contested shot that he does not like. I said it last night on the draft show, I'll reiterate it here again tonight. My favorite thing about Will Riley, and I'll admit, right, I was actively talking myself into Will Riley last night as the pick was made, because there are a couple of guys on Linnell's big board that he wanted that the Wizards decided not to go with. We'll see if they scoop him up here in round number two. But the thing I love most about Will Riley is when you're a college prospect, especially as a freshman, I judge you more based off of what you do in the month of February and March relative to what you do when you first get on campus, because there's that acclimation period. You got to get ready to be a college freshman. And Will Riley had that transition. The way he finished, though, I thought was awesome. He reached double figures in 13 of his final 15 games on campus, averaging 16 points per game during that span. He set a Illini NCAA tournament freshman scoring record in their opening round game against Xavier, dropping 22. He can flat out fill it up, man. The weaknesses about his game, I would say all of them, everything that I have concerns about with Will Riley, I think gets better with play strength. And he's listed at 6'8", 185 pounds. He's a lengthy, wiry-framed kid. But I think the upside play with him is huge. And this is what I will also reiterate. Oftentimes when we talk about NBA prospects and we're speaking of upside, I think a lot of the time people look at that as, oh, he's a project. No, not at all. I concretely expect him to be a part of this rotation next year. I think he's got the playmaking ability. He can handle the ball. He moves really well off of the ball. And he's just a guy that was fearless last year during his time at Illinois. Like I mentioned, we will let you hear some of the interview that Illinois head coach Will Underwood had earlier this afternoon with Grant and Danny. And if you missed any of that, download the Always Free Odyssey app and go back to check that out. You can check out the Grant and Danny podcast feed as well. Brad Underwood, excuse me, I've been calling him Will Underwood all afternoon. You know what I meant. That interview, though, I thought was great and gave a lot of insight on why Will Riley was the right pick for the Washington Wizards at number 21 overall. And when you think about their ability to recoup the 43rd pick and then two second-round picks in the future to move back just three spots, I love it. And for those of you that have been keeping track and following my pre-draft coverage and pre-draft analysis, what's the one thing we kept saying? Every year since Will Dawkins, Mike Winger, and Travis Schlenk have been here, right, they've made some sort of trade. Last night they did it as well, moving down three spots. I know there was a contingent of fans out there when they saw Walter Clayton Jr. was the potential pick at 18th overall. They went, woo-wee. Wouldn't that be instant offense, certified buckets getting brought to the district? I think Will Riley, and this isn't me being a homer, I get what Walter Clayton Jr. did during the NCAA tournament. He cost me some parlays, knocking out some teams. I thought Florida would get upset, but he was having none of it. The reason I like Will Riley better, three spots later, positional size. He's 6'8". He's a 6'8 guard, right? When you watch the handle that he has and how skilled he is for that size, give me that all day long. That more so translates to today's game, and I can make the argument that it'll translate to today's game better than a small guard like Walter Clayton Jr. So all in all, I love both picks. I think the Wizards hit an absolute home run last night. And I think big picture, when you look at this roster moving forward, everything makes sense, right? I don't feel like there's a log jam at any spot. I know there was one concern amongst fans that maybe, just maybe, you know, having Chris Middleton and CJ McCollum, does that take away from the potential offensive production of Will Riley and Trey Johnson in year one? I say absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think it hurts either of those two at all. Everyone's excited about Trey Johnson. I am as well. As I mentioned, his high school head coach, Chad Myers, from Link Academy in Branson, Missouri, going to join us top of the 7 o'clock hour. Chad Myers now the head coach at Link Academy this year. He'd been an assistant there for a while. A guy that's very familiar with the amateur basketball scene, talking about AAU, things of that nature. The thing with Trey, though, that really impressed me the most last year, think about the representation that the SEC had in the NCAA tournament. I believe it was like, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it was like a historic amount of teams coming out of one conference. And when you think about what Trey Johnson did in that conference last year as a freshman, 20 points per game, became just the sixth freshman in SEC history to lead that conference in scoring. He is a big-time bucket getter and can fill it up from all three levels. I think he could, you know, get it off the bounce. I think he's great without the ball in his hands. I'll tell you this, right? I don't normally tell people how to spend their money, but if you got a couple of shekels to sprinkle down, Trey Johnson, NBA Rookie of the Year, he would be my odds-on favorite. Not because he's the most talented scorer in the draft, which I think he is, but a lot of the times when it comes to this Rookie of the Year race, it's about opportunity. And I think the opportunity he has here at our nation's capital to be given the green light right away and have the offensive freedom while playing within the confines of the game and not being selfish, obviously, I think he's going to have the freedom to go out and score, man. And he is just your prototypical wing that can get it on all three levels. I love his ability to put the ball on the deck. The one thing with him that I look at and I go, okay, he's got to improve on that if he's going to have a long career and really reach his potential. I think for me with Trey Johnson, and he talked about this last night during his media availability, talking to the D.C. media for the first time, Will Dawkins, during his pre-draft visit, and I love this from Will Dawkins, is why we have what I consider, you know, one of the best young up-and-coming front offices in all the NBA. He put on a highlight montage of Trey Johnson getting cooked on defense, not giving effort, falling asleep, so to speak, on that end of the floor. And it's a message to the player saying, hey, look, we believe in every part of your game, but we also know no prospect is foolproof, right? Every prospect coming out is going to have strengths and weaknesses. The clear weaknesses for Trey Johnson to me is on the defensive end. And I know people are going to talk about shot selection at times. I don't care about that. The kid can score, right? You shot 40% from downtown on 7 triple attempts per contest. You can lace it. He may walk into the league next year and be one of the best shooters in all the association. But I think the defensive intensity for him is something that's got to ratchet up. And, you know, I think he's going to have the opportunity to do that. It's not going to be overnight. I think here's the great thing, though. Marcus Smart, hello, former defensive player of the year. In his locker room, I'd put his locker right next to Marcus Smart's. Well, that's if Marcus Smart is here by the time the regular season starts. But you understand what I'm saying. Like, that's the guy he should be following around. And here's the thing. When you stand at 6'6" and have a 6'10", 6'11" wingspan, he has the physical tools to be good on that end of the floor. It's just about this coaching staff, this organization, you know, getting him to hone in on that end of the floor. And I think he'll be able to do it. Will Dawkins spoke last night, the general manager of the Washington Wizards, and talked about just how excited this organization was to bring in both Trey Johnson and Will Riley.
As you guys know, each night in the draft is different. Every draft is different. Tonight we walked in with 6 and 8. We're able to kind of move a little bit, but acquire two players in Trey and Will who we feel are really skilled wings, skilled basketball players who know how to move the scoreboard and will continue to get better at doing that. But players who have a real passion for the game. These dudes are hoopers, they're workers, they are serious craftsmen, they care about getting better, and they wanted to be here. And that's important to us, adding those type of players. So I think we're happy with night one. Picked up a pick to get back in the draft tomorrow night in round two. So all the scouts and strategy, everybody's still downstairs trying to figure out what we do tomorrow. But I wanted to make sure I came up here, spoke with you guys first, and can answer any questions that you guys have.
That is Will Dawkins last night talking about the selections of Trey Johnson and Will Riley. They're workers. And I think that's what sticks out to me the most. Fran Fraschilla,
had a tweet last night after the Trey Johnson pick was made. He says, quote, Trey Johnson scores in his sleep, great shot creator and deceptive playmaker for a scorer. Longhorn coaches told me, and this is what really knocked my socks off, Longhorn coaches told me that he was the biggest basketball workout junkie since Kevin Durant. So when you think about what Kevin Durant's turned to in the NBA, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest scorers of all time, when Trey Johnson's work ethic is getting that type of praise, those type of kudos, you can only, you know, begin to just imagine about what he ultimately turns into. This is why, and I know people are going to poo-poo on the Devin Booker comparison. Devin Booker, when he was coming out of the University of Kentucky, had similar question marks to one Trey Johnson. So with that work ethic and the ability to shoot the ball that well already, I think the sky's the limit for him, man. And this is the thing. Bring me all of the basketball junkies. Bring me kids that want to sleep with a basketball next to them. Bring me a kid. Remember Jahan Dotson's old annoying bit where he couldn't stop holding on to the football? We laughed at him for it, obviously, because his play didn't live up to expectation. But, like, that's the vibe I want to see with Trey Johnson next year. That's the vibe I want to see with Will Riley next year. I want the entire organization to move like that, man. Like, that's the beautiful part of being in the early stages of a rebuild. They're still establishing their identity and their culture. And when you bring in a young man like this, where all he knows is work, like that's how you get it done, man. That's how you get it done. I'm super excited about what both Will Riley and Trey Johnson can bring to the Washington Wizards. I think, not even trying to hyperbolize it, Trey Johnson walks in as one of the best shooters in the NBA already. The catch and shoot numbers for him last year were great. Working off of the dribble, he was great. I just think he is a fearless cat, and to lead Texas to the NCAA tournament in that competitive-ass conference while really being the only guy that can go get it offensively, man, I think it says a lot about him and what he could ultimately turn into. If we have it ready, Metal Chris, this is something that kind of speaks to the ever-changing culture with the Washington Wizards basketball organization. Here is Trey Johnson last night being welcomed to the Wizards by none other than his new backcourt mate, Bub Carrington. I didn't know that you didn't have it, man. I sent it to you. Should have it. 1-800-636.
What's up with you? How you doing?
I'm good. How you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing. Feeling like $1 million right now.
You about to get it, too. But nah, super excited to see you. We've been talking about you for the last month and a half, man. So just enjoy the night. We're going to see you soon.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Bring that energy to Washington. We need it.
I most definitely will do that for sure. Yes, sir.
All vibes in the Wizards locker room next year. The thing that excited me the most about that clip right there is Bub Carrington said, we've been talking about you for the past month and a half. So despite all the scuttlebutt and rumors about, you know, how much this group wanted Ace Bailey, I think it's very clear they're okay with Trey Johnson as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the high school coach of new Wizards draft pick Trey Johnson, Chad Myers, joins us next right here on The Fan to tell us what we're getting in this star-studded freshman. That is next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and L. Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show. where you find Chad Myers, the head coach of Link Academy in Branson, Missouri. Coach Myers, we appreciate you making some time for us here tonight. I know you – Chris, can we throw him on hold for a second? Because that sounds awful. Let's throw Coach on hold for a second. We'll get his phone situated. But we're getting ready to be joined by Chad Myers, the head coach at Link Academy. You can give him a follow on the X app at Coach Myers S5. He's been an assistant at Link Academy for a couple of years. Last year promoted to be the head coach of Link Academy. And he got the opportunity to work extensively with new Wizards first-round pick Trey Johnson, a young man that I'm just super excited to get here to our nation's capital. Everything you hear about Trey Johnson is that he's a basketball junkie. Coach Myers, can you speak to that and what really drew you guys to him when he was looking for that prep year?
Yeah, you know, obviously we've had a lot of success at Link. We're trying to always find the best players in the country. And, you know, kind of what you just hit on, what we're really trying to find is not only elite players, but guys that, like, love to be in a gym. And, you know, they're coming to Branson and trying to make themselves college ready and eventually always have a chance to play in the NBA. And everything you've heard about Trey kind of hits that. Like, he loves basketball. He's a basketball junkie. And he made the most out of the year at our place. And he obviously helped keep us one of the best teams in the country.
Fran Fraschilla last night, after the pick was made, said that the coaching staff at Texas said he was the biggest basketball junkie that they've had in Texas since Kevin Durant. So super lofty praise for Trey Johnson. When you've gotten the chance to know him as a person, what makes him tick? Why is his love for the game so strong?
Yeah, I think he has some of like the Kobe stuff in him. I mean, he's super competitive. Like his just mentality to work is at a different level. We have a unique situation. We practice every morning 10 to 12, and then we actually come back and do team skill work 6:30 to 8. And I don't think there was one day during that time that he wasn't in the gym before weights and breakfast at 6 a.m. getting in like another workout. And then half the time he would be coming back at 10 and staying in the gym and getting up shots. And I think that's why he had so much success at Texas. I think he took advantage of being there in summer school, and then they've kind of said the exact same thing. And obviously those are high expectations going to D.C., talking about Kevin Durant, but you know, it kind of fits the bill, and that's who he's modeled himself after, you know, Kobe and his work ethics.
Coach, when he commits to the University of Texas and you find out that he's going to be playing in what was clearly the best conference in America last year by how well represented they were in the NCAA tournament, was there a little bit of, okay, maybe there's an adjustment period for Trey? Did you guys expect him to be a one-and-done prospect, or did he kind of surpass expectations last year in his first season at Texas?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. I used to coach Boo Williams' AU team, so I spent a lot of time.
So you know the DMV area very well,
yeah,
and coach.
I was. I'm from Roanoke, and I was the head coach of Mashinon for a long time. So I had Frank Mason, Jamarco Pickett, Darion Sebron, all those guys. So yeah. And now, obviously, I'm out in Missouri now. So saying that, coaching Cam, you know, obviously the success he had, and Trey, you know, I think he's obviously bigger. I think he's a little bit more athletic and explosive, but he had that same kind of mentality. And they both, you know, they're probably the two biggest I've seen, just, you know, put the ball in the basket. And, you know, that translates. And his tough shot making ability translates. So I wouldn't say we were shocked, but, you know, it's always, especially college basketball getting older, it's an adjustment for everybody. But we weren't surprised, but obviously for any freshman, it's a change. And his success, and obviously being SEC freshman of the year, was huge. So.
Yeah, he became the sixth freshman in SEC history to lead that star-studded conference in scoring. It puts himself in some elite company. We're joined right now by Trey Johnson, his head coach at Link Academy at Branson, Missouri, Coach Chad Myers. You can give him a follow on the X app at Coach Myers S5. I always love when we're doing the pre-draft work, Coach, and I'm sure you guys do this a lot when you're recruiting kids and trying to, you know, can sell them on Link Academy for their prep year. When you got to know the family of Trey Johnson, one thing that was noted last night, man, is he doesn't really hang around with an entourage. When you're a star-studded freshman like him, you can have your friends hanging around with you. He is a very family-oriented young man. What did you get to learn about Trey Johnson's family during his season at Link Academy?
Yeah, I think kind of what his dad said last night, right? Like, his dream was to play in the NBA, and Richard was always around. And that's really was Trey's circle, you know, him and his mom. But his dad is always around. I think his dad having experience being a good player at Baylor, I'm sure he shared a lot with Trey, like, you know, what he did great, what he needed, you know, to do better. And I think Trey is very aware and listens a lot. But that's just kind of how he is. Like, he's really in the gym. It's unique, even, like, people on our staff, like, that have, like, younger siblings, you know, and younger kids, like, Trey gets on and plays Xbox against kids from Lincoln stuff still to this day. And it's just kind of, he's very tight knit and just very simple in the gym, working on his game, you know, playing Xbox and, you know, which is exciting to anybody that can draft a guy like that because, you know, he's really serious about basketball. And obviously that's a huge piece of being successful at that level.
Coach, I if you heard in the intro, I go by the youngest in charge, right? I'm a 27-year-old, and I always say it when we're talking about NFL draft prospects and NBA draft prospects. In this day and age, like my high school career finished right at like the dawn of NIL. How difficult do you think it is for these young men at this current juncture to really stay locked in and keep the main thing the main thing when there's so many different distractions out there that can, you know, take you off course?
Yeah, I mean, it's came down to our level even, and there's guys on my roster because of the rules, you know, can keep NIL and are making more money probably than me, you know, and obviously in college you get these guys, but it's just hard. You know, the one biggest thing that I've said the whole time, and I think everybody agrees on, is that, you know, if we're going to give them all this money, which they deserve, like we have to do a great job of education. You know, that's what the NBPA has really started trying to do is, you know, obviously they're trying to bring these guys in and they do the rookie seminars and, hey, you got to balance your money you're getting, you're going to get taxed and just, to me, that's the biggest thing I don't know if we're doing yet. I know colleges are trying to. It's like, hey, they're getting this money, but what are we doing to educate them with the money, how to save it, how to spend it, obviously what to stay away from, you know, all the stuff that we all know as adults comes with it. That's the piece I think we got to improve.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, as you mentioned, it's sort of a ever-changing thing, and there's no foolproof way to do it. And when that happens, wake me up. I don't think it'll ever be that way. I think everyone will have – you know, their own way of navigating through this new world. But to see the crop, especially last night, man, and I don't know how much of the draft you got to watch, just seeing the crop of one-and-dones come out and how emotional a lot of these dudes were, knowing their stories and their backgrounds, that's always the best part for me. Trey Johnson, though, like a lot of, you know, 18, 19-year-olds when they come into the association, not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. Trey said it last night. When he talked to us in the D.C. media for the first time, that during his pre-draft visit to Washington, the GM, Will Dawkins, put together a montage of him kind of falling asleep on the defensive end of the floor, and it's something that, you know, Trey really took to heart. When you guys challenged him at Link Academy, you know, last year, how was his response, and do you think he's a guy, coach, that needs more of a kick in the ass or a pat on the back?
No, I mean, I think he wants that. Like, you know, the only way you can get better is through, like, learning. And obviously people that tell you the truth for all of us. I mean, in my profession, your profession,
sure.
You know, we need
for
truth
sure.
tellers around us.
Right.
And it's funny. I know he won't be working with directly, but Cody Topper and me worked together. That's the G League coach there.
Okay.
And
well, that's
I
texted awesome.
Cody last night. And I told him, I said, you know, you'll love Trey just because, like, he wants to get better. And, like, I just know how, you know, everybody on the staff there, and I know Cody's tremendous with, you know, breaking down film with those guys, showing them things, and he's the kind of kid that eats that up. Like, you're like, hey, I saw this on film. Like, he'll be knocking on your door. Can you show me what you saw, you know? And, and then, hey, I made that mistake on offense. I didn't make this read. And even as simple, like, when he was playing in the McDonald's game, we were, you know, a lot of people didn't realize how good of a passer he was.
Yes.
Just because anytime you get labeled as a scorer, you know, people don't think you can make reads and make passes, and he made a play in the McDonald's game, and I texted him, like, that night. He had responded, like, Coach, you saw that hook pass we've been working on. That, like, you know, that was what he was thinking about, like, what he had been working on, how he implemented that, even the McDonald's game, which is an all-star game. So I think he wants that. I think he wants guys that are going to push him. I think he wants teammates that are going to push him. And honestly, he's better in that environment. He probably struggles more with guys that aren't motivated to work. He wants more people that are motivated and try to get to the same calls he is. So
I think he was going to fit like a glove here in our nation's capital then. Will Dawkins and company trying to establish a new culture here in D.C., and that culture starts with working your tail off and, you know, being a gym rat. I think that's the best trait that Trey Johnson has. We're joined right now by Trey Johnson's high school senior head coach, Chad Myers, the head coach at Link Academy. You can give him a follow on the X app at Coach Myers S5. When you guys got him for the prep year, obviously he comes in. You get to talk to his family. What did they say their goals were for getting that prep year at Link Academy?
This is probably well documented. He said, you know, hey, I want to treat Link as basically my freshman year in college, so then I can treat my freshman year in college as being basically my rookie year in the NBA, so I'm kind of stepped to the next. So it was never – I think that everybody knew that unless something went completely sideways, he was going to play in the McDonald's game. He was going to have a chance to be one of the best players, like – he wanted to win a national title because the year before we had won a national title with Elliot Cadeau and Jacoby Walter.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a goal and all that stuff too. But I think as far as just the overall experience for the year, like he wanted to treat it like he was in college, which you get a chance to do at our place just for the travel and the competition, the schedule, and being away from home. And he kind of took all that in, which I think which got him ready, and he kind of stayed the course. And he said, you know, at Tech, because he told those guys, I want to treat this as my rookie year, so I want you to hold me accountable like a rookie, so I'm ready when I get to that next level.
The thing I love about Trey, it seems Coach Myers, he is just very intentional and a guy that's got his head screwed on the right way. And I think it says a lot about, you know, his parents and his upbringing. I think you know it, and college coaches across the country know, when you're, you know, finding out who these guys are, you don't have to look too far around their circle to see, you know, their influences and why they are the way that they are. Coach, I'll ask you this as well. Was there a moment at Link where you went, okay, like this guy is better than even I thought he had the potential to be? Because right now, I don't know if you know Coach Myers, the lofty expectations that are out there. And by the way, I think he's got the work ethic too, Coach, to live up to any sort of expectations. They're hollering about Devin Booker, Coach Myers. If he turns into Devin Booker, we're going to have you on a lot more.
He's a pretty good player. I mean, I think that, you know, I think all his habits, you know, that's the question. I think that he can meet expectations. I think anybody, right? Like, it's really hard to project that somebody's going to be Devin Booker. Obviously, he's incredible, one of the best players in the league. I would be shocked, you know, God willing, and obviously he's blessed, no injuries, all those kind of things. I would be shocked if he doesn't end up being, you know, a long-time NBA vet and has a great career. I think it's hard. To me, it's just easier for guys to fail that don't stay in the gym. The guys that love the gym and love the craft, they just get better, right? And that's what I think, you know, so much his parents and his dad and everybody instilled in him is just like, you know, when it ain't going good, you know, you get back in the gym and work. And when it is going good, you stay in the gym and work. And that's just kind of everything that he does in life. I mean, he had a strict plan with his, like, rehab and recovery and stretching and just everything preparation-wise. I mean, he was trying to treat himself like a, you know, a college pro when we had him. So I think the first time we really realized, and everybody that I coached that had this, that played in the NBA, is that he's super competitive. So when we started playing pickup, we had some good players. We had LeBaron Fialon at Alabama that was in the draft at one time. We had Jasper Johnson going to Kentucky. So we had, like, good guards in the backcourt with Trey. And he hated to lose. So he would just take over, pick up games, and just find a way to, like, win and make tough, crazy shots. And,
love that.
You know, pull up at 30 feet and make threes to end the game. And you could just see the fire of him wanting to win and taking tough shots. And I think that's when we kind of realized, like, all right, this guy's a little different. Like, he's got that it factor and that competitive nature. You know?
We'll let you go on this, Coach. We'll ask you to be objective here. And, look, I think that he's got all the tools and the right mental makeup to, like you said, have a long career in the NBA. If you had to nitpick his game, Coach, what do you think is the biggest thing he needs to work on entering the pro level?
I think he would say the same. I think you can always get better defensively. I think he can get in even better shape, even though he's in good shape. And I think just continuing to make plays, you know, and be efficient. Like, when you get to the league, there's obviously everybody in the league is an NBA player. So just being efficient with the ball in and out of your hands and playing off the ball, obviously – even with all the talent that Tech had and talent we had, you know, he's kind of always been the guy with the ball in his hand. And I think he'll get to that point. But, you know, it's so often early in the league, you got to learn how to play with those other guys that are vets and playing beside guys. And I think he's capable of doing that and will be good at that. But that'll just be the biggest thing, you know, right away is being efficient with your touches and reps and numbers and all that kind of stuff. So.
For sure. I know it's something they're going to be instilling in him from day one. I can't wait to see him out in Vegas in the summer league, man. He should be one of the certified bucket getters out there, man. Coach Chad Myers, we appreciate you making some time for us, man. We'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great night.
That is Chad Myers, the head coach at Link Academy, where Trey Johnson played his senior season of high school. Trey Johnson, the number 6 overall pick last night, for the Washington Wizards out of the University of Texas. I'll just say this about Trey Johnson. Everything you hear about this young man is that he's a gym rat, and I know he can shoot the cover off the basketball, shot 40% from 3 last year on 7 attempts per contest. I don't even care about that. I don't care about the vertical. I care about what Coach Myers talked about and then what Trey Johnson talked about last night. He is a gym rat, and I think that is the really best compliment that anybody can give you as an athlete, is that you're somebody that's, you know, never going to not make it because you didn't work hard. So, Wizards fans, buckle up. Should be a long, decorated career for our guy Trey Johnson. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more overtime here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Still moving and grooving right along here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge of O'Willigan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Big thank you to head coach Chad Myers of Link Academy, where Trey Johnson, the Wizards' number 6 overall pick last night, spent his senior season. If you missed any of that conversation, download the Always Free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature. You go back to the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Metal Chris will also have the podcast up for you a little bit later on tonight as well. Really insightful conversation. Really insightful conversation. Really getting to understand what makes Trey Johnson tick. The number one thing that I continue to be just absolutely floored with when it comes to Trey Johnson is the fact that he is just a workout junkie. And when you can shoot the ball the way that he is, the way that he can, rather, like, it's because you were in the gym putting in work. You don't shoot 40% from three on 7 three-pointers a game in the SEC if you're not a workaholic. So I love everything about this kid. The one thing his coach said that was interesting to me, he really highlighted on, you know, the family that brought up Trey Johnson, man. And I think for a lot of these cats, you know, when it comes to how they project to the next level, people don't understand the type of extensive background work that goes into evaluating an NBA prospect. I mean, they are digging, talking to high school coaches, talking to AAU coaches, talking to middle school coaches. I mean, depending on, you know, how volatile the prospect is potentially, they may go all the way back to elementary school. I mean, they do their homework on these guys, and for good reason, because you got to think about it, man. The Wizards are, you know, practically handing the keys to the franchise over to Trey Johnson and saying, hey, look, we want you to be a part of, you know, leading us into the future and into the promised land. So, yeah, you want to know everything about the kid, what makes him tick, why he works so hard. I thought Chad Myers did a really good job of giving us some insight into who Trey Johnson is. The other thing that really stood out to me and why I think he's going to be just electric here in D.C., he can be coached. In today's day and age, and Coach Myers pointed it out, especially with the day and age of NIL, there are some kids on campus making more than their head coach. So, yeah, if guys didn't want to be coachable or didn't want to listen to the coach because, well, I make more money than my coach, why would I listen to what he has to say? I'm the one going to the NBA, not him. You could understand it, but Chad Myers continued to highlight the fact that, like, Trey Johnson is a super coachable kid and wants to get better. I think that's going to be perfect here in our nation's capital. The one thing that I love about what the Wizards are doing, they are putting an emphasis on player development. It's a big reason why Brian Keefe had the interim tag lifted off of him, and it's a reason why I think he's going to get an extension sooner rather than later. The development of the young prospects in this program has been very evident season to season and then throughout periods of time throughout the season as well. Like, you think about Keyshawn George, for example, and what he was during the first 2 months last year and then what he was to finish night and day. And that's because of player development. I think you can say the same thing about Bub Carrington last year as well. A guy that, you know, didn't maybe have the minutes available for him early on, but when he got his opportunity and he became a mainstay in that rotation, he was able to keep himself there because he was putting in work and getting better. A lot of people, in terms of the NBA draft or giving out draft grades, and I think it's always one of the most annoying parts of any, you know, pro sports draft, because it's like, damn,
How are you going to give a draft grade to Trey Johnson when you haven't seen Trey Johnson play a minute of NBA basketball? You never know how guys are going to develop. You never know what they're going to be 2-3 years down the line. So I think it's always appropriate to me to give a little bit of time before, you know, putting a draft grade on a certain class. One of the best college basketball minds in the sport, John Fanta, joined the Sports Junkies this morning. He had this to say about how the Wizards should be feeling after last night in the draft.
I believe in Trey Johnson, and I don't think that he has even fully, you know, scratched the surface, framed out, figured everything out quite yet, which is encouraging for the Wizards. At the end of the day, the Washington Wizards become a draft winner for me for two reasons. Number one, they kept their pick and they got a valuable player in Trey Johnson. Good job. Number two, they shed Jordan Poole. I wouldn't have believed that that would have happened, and they were able to do that in this draft week. So for me, that gets a thumbs up because you have over $100 million set up in cap space next year. You have a lot going your way for your future. Now, you have, what do we always say? You have to have the right people make the right decisions. But I would say more of a win for the Wizards collectively than a loss.
Well, if John Fanta says we're winners, we don't have to wait 2-3 years down the line to evaluate this prospect in this class. I think both of the picks, Trey Johnson and Will Riley, bring something to this organization that they desperately need. Young, hungry, developmental talent that has the chance to develop into something special. I know we're talking about Trey Johnson as a guy who really seems like between him and Will Riley probably has the most upside and probably has the more clear path to becoming a perennial all-star at his ceiling. What I don't want to do, though, is sleep on Will Riley out of Illinois. What he was able to accomplish during his freshman year, I think, was super important as well. I talked about it to open the show. He's another cat that simply just got better as the season went on. So super excited about both of those two dudes being brought into the organization. Once again, smashing conversation with Chad Myers, the head coach at Link Academy, where Trey Johnson played his final year of high school ball. If you missed any of that conversation, download the always free Odyssey app. Go to the top of the 7 o'clock hour and click on the interview to hear my full conversation with Trey Johnson's high school head coach, Chad Myers of Link Academy. A lot more to get to here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. When we come back, we've done a deep dive on Trey Johnson, the first-round draft pick for the Wizards last night. They went big game hunting again at number 21 overall, selecting Will Riley out of the University of Illinois. His head coach, Brad Underwood, joined Grant and Danny earlier today. We'll let you hear the best of that conversation coming up next on The Fan. one 800 636 1067, the number here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in with the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Sam Bruckhaus of SumoSports.com. We'll take a spin around the National Football League at the back half of the 8 o'clock hour. So make sure you keep it locked for that. We'll also talk a little bit about RFK 2.0. Eric Flack of WSA 9 joined Grant and Danny earlier today and gave some pretty critical updates on where things currently stand and whether or not the D.C. Council and the Washington Commanders can come together on a deal before the deadline. So we'll get into that as we ease our way into the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to keep things on, to me, what's the main story right now locally. The Washington Wizards last night knocking the NBA draft out of the park, selecting Trey Johnson out of Texas with the number 6 overall pick. And then they went big game hunting with the number 21 overall pick. So here is how it went down. We were on the air last night live out at Wizards Draft HQ right in the wharf. And what a tremendous visual that was last night. One of the coolest things I've gotten to do, the war room where they were making the picks at and working the phones, was actually on the second floor. We were in the penthouse. So just the ability to be boots on the ground, getting that type of access is always cool. So big shout-out to the Washington Wizards for hosting us there last night. They did go big game hunting, as I mentioned, with that second first-round pick. There was talks, and I reported this as well, that the Wizards, one, were more than confident in the assets that they had if they wanted to move up. And then I think it was Brett Siegel of Clutch Points reported that the Wizards had placed phone calls to teams in the late lottery with the expectation of trying to move up. They were more than willing to do that. Obviously, we know how it plays out. They did not move up, but they did make a move. The pick comes in. I'll take you through my thought process last night. The pick comes in, and I got tipped off on the pick first based off of Twitter. And one thing that I don't know if you all were watching the draft last night or following it on social media, probably the most prominent NBA insider in the game right now, Shams Charania of ESPN, for the first time in ESPN's draft coverage, they didn't have their NBA insider tip draft pick. So I thought that was a really different change to the NBA draft and how it's, you know, covered. But last night I get tipped off on the pick, and Metal Chris is doing a hell of a job scrambling, trying to figure out, well, how do we get to the podium feed? And doing draft shows is always amazing, and it's a circus behind the scenes, and our producers deserve, you know, a ton of credit for, you know, keeping things in line, so to speak. But last night I get tipped off on the pick, and I see that it's Walter Clayton Jr., selected at number 18 overall out of the University of Florida. His run during the NCAA tournament last year was Steph Curry-like. If you remember what Steph did at Davidson, what Walter Clayton did last year was just like that. Big shot making, doing it at all three levels. And then what I love about Walter Clayton, there were times where he'd go off for 35, 34 points, and it wouldn't feel like it because everything was within the flow of the offense. So I say all that to say this. If they would have stuck with Walter Clayton at number 18 overall, you wouldn't have heard or wouldn't have seen me bat an eye. I would have loved the pick. I think he is just a certified bucket getter, and when a guy wins a natty, you're a winner. You're looked at as a leader, and when you think about his story, transferring and all of the trials and tribulations he had to go through, I loved him as a prospect, but the Wizards decided, you know what, we're not going to take Walter Clayton Jr. They acquired the number 43rd overall pick from the Utah Jazz, which they'll make later on tonight. The second round of the NBA draft starts at 8 o'clock. I know I told you all 7 o'clock earlier. My apologies. Starts at 8 o'clock. We will bring you the Wizards picks as they come in, and we'll let you know if they make any type of trades. But last night, the Wizards moved back three spots from 18th overall to the 21st overall pick, and they send that to Utah. And the Wizards, in exchange, get the 43rd overall pick in the second round, and then they got two future seconds in 2031 and 2032. With the 21st overall pick, they go with Will Riley out of the University of Illinois, 6'8", 185 pounds, and a young man that I think is, you know, clearly has his best basketball ahead of him. The thing that really stood out to me about Will Riley is where he currently is right now in his career. He reached double figures in scoring in 13 of his final 15 games on campus, meaning he's playing his best basketball when his team needed him the most. And the thing I love about that, clearly he's developing, right? And I will say this about Will Riley, because I have done a lot more homework on him over the past 24 hours. He's got all the upside in the world. The Ringer had him as their, I think it was their 24th ranked prospect. So some pretty good value there for the Washington, 23rd ranked prospect. So some good value there getting him at 21st overall. And I think what's most intriguing about him is when you have that type of positional size at 6'8", and you're as skilled as he is at that height. The playmaking ability is tremendous. He's got the ability to see over defenses. And then what I love is when you're a freshman playing basketball in the Big Ten, which is the second best conference in all of college hoops, you either got it or you don't. There is a confidence that he plays with. And I think it was evident off of, you know, the amount of off the dribble threes that he took last year. He has not met a shot that he doesn't like. I think he's got a tremendous pull-up game. He can score from all three levels. The defense and finishing at the rim is probably the Achilles heel of his game right now. But look, when you're 6'6", a buck 80, or 6'8", rather, a buck 85, you're going to struggle if your play strength isn't there. I think he gets better as his play strength continues to improve. As I mentioned, though, Illinois head coach Brad Underwood joined Grant and Danny earlier on The Fan, and he said this about what type of scorer Will Riley is. It's cut number one of Brad Underwood joining G&D earlier today on The Fan.
Well, yeah, a really, really good player, first of all. You know, the one thing that I do is I don't give too much credence to who I start and don't start. I like bringing productivity off the bench. I've had multiple 6 men of the year before for a reason. And Will was one of those guys. And I love bringing impact guys off the bench. You know, Will was one of our top two talents. There's no doubt about that. But again, a guy that's 6'9". I was very, very blessed early in my career as an assistant coach. I coached Michael Beasley at Kansas State. Will's the second best offensive talent I have coached. His ball just goes in. You know, for a guy who classed up, he's still thin. He's got to get stronger. A great facilitator, a guy who just knows how to score the basketball, and a very, very high IQ player. The Wizards got a really, really good one. I think he can be an all-star type player at some point.
I mean, it's hard not to get fired up hearing Brad Underwood talk about the type of potential that Will Riley could have at the NBA level. He talked about it, though. Do you understand, like, first of all, I don't know if you're from the DMV, you understand it. Mike Beasley's a bucket, man. Like, he is probably one of the best ISO scorers right now in the world. So for him to get compared to that type of offensive bucket getter, I think it shows you, one, how much Brad Underwood loves Will Riley, and then, two, the type of potential that he has, man. Look, he's a moldable piece of clay. I believe he's 19 years old. He is far from being a finished product, but the reason the Wizards take an upside swing on a kid like him at 21 overall is I think he walks in from day one and could be a part of their rotation. But if you're, you know, looking down the line and rubbing on a magic ball, so to speak, and trying to see, like, hey, what does this kid project to be, I don't think Brad Underwood's being biased at all when he talks about Will Riley having all-star potential. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear more of Illinois head coach Brad Underwood talking about the Wizards and their second first-round pick last night, Will Riley out of the University of Illinois. All that and more coming your way next here on The Fan. .1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. As we get into the 8 o'clock hour here tonight, we'll begin to switch gears a little bit and talk about what's the latest with RFK 2.0. But I do have some breaking Washington Capitals news to get to. This just happened about 10 minutes ago via the Washington Capitals Twitter page. The Capitals have acquired some championship pedigree. They acquired forward Justin Sordiff from the Florida Panthers in exchange for the Caps' second-round pick in next year's draft and then their sixth-round pick in the 2027 NHL draft. So still doing some homework to try and figure out how impactful of a move this is for the fellas. But if it goes any way like the last trade that they pulled off at the deadline, acquiring Anthony Beauvillier, then I think it'll mean good things for the Washington Capitals as they move into next year. Sordiff was originally drafted by the Panthers in the third round in 2020, scored his first career NHL goal in his lone appearance with the Panthers last season on a February 25th game against the Nashville Predators. So this is a young pup that I don't know if he comes up to the main roster right away or if he starts out in Hershey or whatever, but the Caps wheeling and dealing as they try to rebound off of last year. And honestly, the disappointing finish that they had to the season when you think about how successful they were during the regular season. Right now, though, I'm going to keep things on the Caps roommate over at Cap One Arena, the Washington Wizards, all a part of that monumental sports umbrella. The Wizards with a big-time night last night, bringing in Will Riley out of the University of Illinois with the 21st overall pick, and then Trey Johnson out of Texas with the number 6 overall pick. We got the chance to sit down with Chad Myers, the head coach of Link Academy, where Trey Johnson played his senior season of high school basketball. If you missed any of that, go back to the top of the 7 o'clock hour on the Odyssey app and check that out. Just a really good conversation. Earlier today, though, see, this is what we do here on The Fan. We tag team. We help each other out. Earlier today, Grant and Danny sat down with Brad Underwood, the head coach at the University of Illinois, and
He gave a bunch of thoughts on the Wizards' second first-round pick, Will Riley, the 6'8", 185-pound freshman. Here is Brad Underwood on where Will Riley developed the most during his time last year.
Well, I think he understands now how to be a pro from the standpoint of, you know, we had him at 200 pounds at one time. He, you know, the weight room, we spend a ton of money in nutrition, teaching guys how to eat. And then I think on the court side, defensively, there had not been a lot of things asked from him on that side of the court before. He's a guy that can guard multiple positions. He's got legit length and size. He's a deceiving shot blocker, you know, for a wing. But the other piece to that is, you know, bringing him off the bench and you know, he played with our second team and I played him at the point, with that group all year long. So his decision-making, his ball handling, his facilitating, really, really improved on the offensive side. And he's always been a scorer, and will continue to be that. But his game really grew on the offensive side as a playmaker.
At the bottom, we mentioned it right off the top of the show and why I'm so intrigued by the kid. When you reach double figures in scoring in 13 of your final 15 games, it shows a clear development that happened, you know, throughout the course of his freshman campaign. Coach Underwood talked about the defense of Will Riley, and I think, like I continue to say, as he gets stronger, right, and the play strength improves, I think he'll become, you know, a much better defender. He's got all the tools right now to be an elite NBA defender. He's 6'8", with like a 6'11", 7-foot wingspan, man. The kid's got long arms. He's got all the measurables that, you know, really will allow you to have success on that level, so I think the sky is the limit for Will Riley. I feel like I'll be real with you. The more and more I think about the prospect, I'll be real, right? Like last year, during the pre-draft process, I didn't spend a whole lot of time looking at Will Riley. He wasn't one of my favorite cats in that late lottery spot. I know the Wizards getting in where they got him at was good value. But, you know, I thought he would be an upside play for the Wizards. And last night as I was watching him, I thought, man, you know, is this a cat that's going to be able to contribute right away in year number one? But the more and more work you do on him, the more you realize that it's not the physicality that will allow him to carve out a role right away. I think it's his basketball mind. From the neck up, I mean, he has it, right? Like, he understands the game. He understands angles. He understands how to play make. And he's just got a real good feel for the game at 6'8". The one thing that people are concerned about, though, and me as well, is the play strength. How long does it take and how strong does he actually get? Here is Illinois head coach Brad Underwood on how Will Riley is going to have to balance getting stronger while keeping that dynamic play style and skill set at 6'8".
Yeah, he's always going to be a wiry, strong type of kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's, you know, to think that all of a sudden he's going to be 240 is not it. But he's got that long frame, long arms, long legs. He's, you know, he's a kid that had not lifted much till he got with us. He gained a lot of strength. That will continue to help him. But I think he's a guy that will always be deceivingly strong, even though he doesn't look the part. And he was that way this year. He got to 200 pounds. He gained 27 pounds when he got to campus, from the time he got to campus. And, you know, that will impact him more defensively. But he does a great job of using that length to keep people out of his body. And he knows what's in front of him. He knows that he's got to continue to work in that area and continue to eat the right way. And you know, that'll do nothing but just help his game grow.
One thing I love about Will Riley and what he said about him, he's always going to be a wiry, skinny-looking kid, but he's stronger than what he actually looks. I give a lot of credit to the Wizards' strength and conditioning program. Over the past 2 years, watching Bilal Coulibaly's body change from year one to year two tells me everything I need to know about what they're doing over there and how they're developing cats. Bilal put on a considerable amount of mass from year one to year two, and I don't know the exact numbers, but just looking at the kid, he looked considerably stronger in year two than he did in year number one. I think if you're Will Riley, you got to be smiling that, hey, I'm going to have that exact same opportunity. As I continue to say about Riley, with him, every weakness that exists right now in his game, I think gets better just from naturally being stronger when it comes to on-ball defense, fighting over screens. That's a mentality thing, first and foremost, but I think it's a play strength thing as well. You could be, you know, the toughest dog in the yard, but if you're not strong, you can want to get over the screen all day long, but if you don't have the physical strength to do so, you're not going to be able to. I think right away, with his length, if he could put some mass on, he could turn into a versatile wing defender, right? Like, I think at 6'8", with the foot quickness he has, he can stay in front of guards. If he gets stronger, though, in today's small ball NBA era, where guys are, or teams are trying to go small and play a man at the four spot that can stretch the floor, if he can get stronger, you're looking at a cat that can potentially guard 1 through 4. And, like, that to me is what's most important about what the Wizards are trying to do. In this new age of basketball where it's pretty much positionless, right? 7-footers are handling the basketball. Everybody can do everything. As many versatile wing defenders as you can have as possible, I think it's a luxury. I think it's a premium and what you need to be able to have success in the NBA. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take some calls. After round one of the draft, how confident are you in the Washington Wizards rebuild? They go with Trey Johnson, 6th overall out of the University of Texas, and then with their second first-round pick, they draft Will Riley out of the University of Illinois. Now that the dust has settled and we've got you up to speed about who these prospects are, how confident are you in this Wizards rebuild moving forward? We'll take your calls next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.